39. Weigert felt paralyzed. Bill Haggerty arrived, and Weigert listened to him and Julian discuss the situation away from the authorities. Julian stressed cooperation. Haggerty stressed legalities. Then, with the lawyer paying close attention, Weigert answered the FBI's questions. He explained the physics of exactly what we are looking at here. Julian translated that physics into non-scientific metaphors. Caroline and Trevor answered medical questions. And all the while, Weigert stood paralyzed, while a tsunami of horror swelled just beyond his small, safe island of physics. A monstrous, sickly wave rolling toward his island to drown him, to drown everything. The officers were there such a long time, an eternity. The officers were there no time at all. Subjective time, objective time. But there was no objective time, there never had been, only the dark wave sweeping endlessly toward him. "So you're telling me," Agent Kaplow said, "that this implant enables a person to enter an alternate universe and commit the consequence-free murder of actual human beings?" Clearly, she didn't believe a word of anything Julian or Weigert had said. But the terrible phrase echoed and re-echoed in Weigert's mind. Consequence-free murder of actual human beings. Consequence-free murder. He was going to vomit. Was going to faint. The wave. The wave. The wave. Then Rose's hand was under his elbow, steadying him. Only, of course, it wasn't Rose. It was Caroline. "George, you should lie down."
"Agents, can't you see?"
Anger in her voice. "That Dr. Weigert isn't well. Do you need any more answers from him?" They did not. They didn't want physics. They wanted only to measure the horror, which wasn't measurable because it was infinite. Caroline said, "Dr. Abruzzo can answer the rest of your medical questions," and led Weigert from the conference room through the security office to the lobby. Then she was saying something he didn't understand and leading him toward the hospital wing.
"No, no, I don't, no."
Weigert broke away, and all at once, he was back in his own room with no memory of walking there. He sat on his desk chair, Caroline's arm around his shoulders, and the tsunami rushed ashore and broke, drowning him. He had done this. His knowledge of how the universe really works. Now, living men and women and children, God in heaven, children, shot and bleeding and screaming in pain, even after the shooter had left the branch of the universe that his twisted mind had created. A shooter that could return there again and again, as often as he was connected to the programs Ben Clarby had stolen. Consequence-free murder.
"Rose, help me."
No answer. His mind could not conjure a Rose who coexisted with this loathsome horror, which he had made possible. He wrapped his arms around Caroline's waist and hung on, his life raft. She said, "George, it isn't your fault."
"It is. It is."
He let Caroline go, and suddenly, full of anger, stood to face her.
"It is our fault. How could it not be? We did this, Sam and Julian and I, and we didn't foresee where it could lead, how it could be used."
And then, more quietly, "Oppenheimer."
"No,"
Trevor Abruzzo said quickly. And when had he arrived? Weigert raised his voice and recited Oppenheimer, quoting the Bhagavad Gita. "Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds." Caroline said, "Sit down again, George." "All right, you don't have to if you don't want to. But let's consider this logically. You were doing science, looking for truth. I know you still believe in the science behind your theory."
"Of course I believe in the science. It exists. But look what we've done with it."
"And look what else we've done with it," Caroline said. "You've seen Rose again.
My sister will see her dead baby. You've brought hope and comfort to people and will bring those precious things to more people.
Weigert stared at her. Anger had banished paralysis. All at once, his heart hammered in his chest and he couldn't breathe. Sweat poured down his face. His arms flailed, as if he could grasp air with his hands and force it into his lungs. He couldn't breathe, couldn't breathe.
He's having a massive panic attack, Caroline said from a great distance.
But it didn't matter, because there was no longer any air in the room. After some time, or no time, a faint prick as a needle slid into his arm. He woke to find himself in the hospital wing. Caroline sat beside his bed, frowning at a tablet.
Caroline.
She put down the tablet and took his wrist. How are you, George?
And then, as if she knew it was a stupid question.
Your pulse is normal. I'm going to take the rest of your vitals. Are you still groggy from the meds?
He was.
You drugged me?
She forced a smile.
That sounds like we addicted you to heroin. It was just Valium, to which you reacted unusually strongly. There, let me just... Okay, your vitals look good.
His head felt clearer by the second.
Where's Julian?
Gathering documents and hard drives for the FBI. They obtained subpoenas. Maybe he's done by now. Do you want me to send for him?
No, I won't. The FBI took the hard drives? Everything?
Julian said not to worry. He had duplicates of everything in a warehouse somewhere. And his entire army of techs is reinstalling hardware and software and running diagnostics. It's a digital factory in Wing 3.
I want a session. Now.
The equipment isn't working yet.
I have to see Rose. I have to.
Caroline said gently. And you will. Maybe tomorrow. I promise, George. He nodded, defeated. But tomorrow would come. Then he could replace the image of the shooter from the dark web, black ski mask over his face, and bloodshed staining his brain, with the image of Rose. His Rose, savior and sanctuary, who would help him find understanding, just as she had always done before.